Hey there, welcome to the Kwame Adepar podcast, where I'll be sharing insights on surviving the various phases of life as a youth living in Ghana. I am Kwame Adepar, your host. Hey everyone, welcome to the Kwame Adepar podcast. And I'm exceptionally excited today because I have two brilliant young men who are going to join me in the discussion on the topic Boys to Men. This is an episode that I've always wanted to have. And when I thought of it, like, which young men can I bring on this podcast to make the impact that I'm looking for and to be able to, you know, feed my tribe with the kind of insights that's going to help them to be better men, and for the ladies who listen, to be able to equip them to be able to support the men, none other than Nneoma K. Emmanuel and Kofi Opon Nsuman. Men, these are driven men. These are men that are doing so many great things. You know, I remember we actually met on campus, University of Ghana. And I remember when you're on campus, you know, we had dreams to become men, you know, dreams to be husbands. And today, some of those dreams have become a reality. And I'm so excited to have them on. Today, Emmanuel and Kofi are husbands, they are parents, and they are also leaders in their organization. But I'm going to give them the opportunity to introduce themselves, and we'll go right into today's discussion. So let me start with Emma. Oh no, in the arrangement I have here, let me start with Kofi. So Kofi, tell us a bit about yourself.
All right. Thank you, Dabs. My name is Kofi. I'm a husband. So my wife is Debbie. I have a beautiful wife, Debbie, and I'm a father to one boy, Jaden, as well. On a 9-to-5, I work in finance at Microsoft, and then I am also part of a group of people that work in a nonprofit organization called the Grace Life Leadership Center that helps to raise leaders in Africa to help solve some of the challenges we have. I also have other side gigs, some startups here and there. So, but I'm very excited to be on the call with these brothers that I have.
Great. Good to have you, Kofi. Nneoma K. Emmanuel, man, let's hear from you.
Kofi started with, I am a husband and I'm a father. So I don't know how else I can start, else I'm in trouble. And so I have to start with, I'm a husband to Grace. And I have to mention the name because Kofi did it. So I'm a husband to Grace. And I have a son, and I am a social entrepreneur. I'm hoping to build solutions for some of Africa's most pressing social challenges. For now, I'm focused on beliefs, leadership, women, and value creation. So we're doing this at the Grace Life Leadership Center, the Believers Avenue, Lift Women, and something that we're starting very soon is called My Growth Club. So that's just about me.
Great. Good to have you, Emmanuel. Guys, I'm not going to lie, okay? We are actually shooting this at exactly 12:13 a.m. And I'm actually dealing with three different time zones. I'm in Ghana. Kofi and Emmanuel are in the USA. Kofi, which state are you in?
I'm in Washington State, which is on the Pacific Daylight Saving Time right now. So it's like 7-hour time difference between Ghana and the Pacific time.
Wow. And Emmanuel, you're in which state?
I'm in New York. So that's like 4 hours. Yes. The only sad part was I'm going to watch basketball final, but it's fine. I'm going to do this. We're going to do this.
Let's do this. So guys, you know, so we actually started shooting this around 11 p.m., but the platform that we're using just went off, and we've changed the platform, and we're using another platform. I'm saying this because I want you guys to know that nothing is really perfect, and in everything that we do, we have our own challenges and we have to face them, right? But we are facing ours, and we really want to push this content to you. So we are really doing this. So yeah, the topic is boys to men. You know, as I said, we had dreams of becoming men. Today we are leaders, we are husbands, we are men. But really, what is manhood? Who is a man? Iman, let me start with you. Who is a man, really?
That's a very interesting question. I don't even know if anyone knows the answer. I don't think even Adam knew the answer, but all jokes aside, I think manhood is a very interesting thing. I would have said as one of those things that is hard to define, right? But you know it when you see it. You know, it's like beauty.
Yeah.
Very hard to define because, again, you cannot put like a group of people in the same bracket and have something that is very common with all of them, right? And say, these are men. Yeah. So even though in a society like where we, you know, we find ourselves in a society, even though in a society, you are often going to have people define men by a particular thing, right? And so there are people that feel that they are men when they marry and they're men when they become fathers. I don't agree. And of course, again, because no one knows what this means, anyone can define it the way they want. But for me personally, I think manhood start with being responsible for you. It's like really coming to the point where you recognize that you are responsible for you. You are responsible for your future. You are responsible for your life. And then even being responsible for the responsibilities that you take. And so if you decide to marry, for instance, it's a responsibility you've taken. If you decide to give birth, it's a responsibility that you've taken on yourself. And that is what manhood is to me. It is coming to that point where you recognize that you are responsible for you. You are responsible for the way you think. You are responsible for the way you understand. You are responsible for the way you talk. You are responsible for what you pick from society, what you get, you know, your own learnings, your nurturing, your understanding of life. You are responsible. And all the other things that come with it. That is what I think being a man is.
Right. So essentially being a man is when you assume responsibility. Great.
Okay. I have to add, I mean, that would not be fair because, of course, women also can be that. So I have to say that perhaps being a man has to do with the chromosomes and that responsibility. But I mean, I'm just kidding. Because now in society, who knows? I mean, men can be women and women can be men. So
you can identify as a man,
That's why I refrain from that. But I think that it has to do with the chromosomes too.
That's right.
It's not just about the responsibilities. Yes, I think so.
Right. Okay. Yeah, Kofi.
No, I mean, I agree with all that Ima has said. And I think even that the title of today's podcast is From Boys to Men. And so I think the part of this whole manhood thing I want to focus on is the journey, right? The journey that makes you become that. Because like to Ima's point, biologically, you know, you have X and Y chromosomes that clearly determines that you are of the male sort of sex or gender or whatever it is. But for you to make that transition from a boy to a man, it's what Ima made reference to, just the recognition of the responsibility that comes with it. And I think that because all of us, you know, knew ourselves back then when we were on campus, and I think I know, and maybe it's also true for the both of you as well, but on campus you had someone else bear those responsibilities of, you know, at least a great percentage of that. You had to take care of your studies all by yourself, all of that stuff, but somebody most likely paid your fees and paid for your accommodation and your feeding and all of that. But once you leave campus, once you are out of school, the general expectation is that you assume these responsibilities. You become intentional about additional ones that you add to it, which I think, so there's a clear transition where you leave behind being a boy, and then you become a man, you know, so to speak. And then other things also come added to it, like, you know, like in the context of being a husband, right? That's a face of being a man. Being a father, that's another face of being a man. Or even in the workplace, all of what you become. The other layer that I add to it is that, like, as Christian men, I think the Bible gives us clear instruction in scripture as to what to be as a man or who to be as a man. And then if you have... If you follow the path of becoming a husband, you know, Bible also lays down things that you need to do, same thing applies to if you become a father, you have the blessing of being a father, then that there are also certain things that certain responsibilities and requirements and expectations of faithfulness that the scripture places on us. So I think to Ime's point, it comes hugely with recognition of responsibility and then the assumption of those responsibilities and whatever you add on in going forward. But that's also a clear transition from a period where you were not having any of those. And then all of a sudden you have that. I think personally that sometimes without embracing it fully, that's a huge opportunity chance of failure if you don't embrace it, because the transition can be so swift. Yeah. One moment, someone else taking care of you, another moment, taking care of yourself, and then that can be really swift.
That's the crazy part of it, you know. One moment you are being taken care of, another moment someone is taking. I mean, you are taking care of other people, but I really appreciate where you're taking the whole man thing from being responsible, right? And you know that, I mean, at some point we all have some certain kind of responsibility, but really, guys, how does it feel to be responsible for two lives? You guys have one child for now, right? Let me not go to mine. I'm a father of many nations. but yeah, how did it feel? let me start with Kofi. How did it feel like being responsible for two lives?
I think it's scary.
Christian. Yeah, I mean, I only think from the Christian context, you know, you are the head of the family. So how does it feel? Tell me.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's scary. I think it's very scary, particularly because of the swiftness of that transition, right? From being under someone, being a subset of someone else's responsibility, and now becoming it. So it's not an easy thing. But I do also think that it's a privilege to have, you know, to be able to one, take care of a spouse, and two, take care of another person. One thing that helps us as Christian men is that, you know, that there are instances where you are not sure what to do or what is required of you. But like, as a Christian man, the requirements, I think, are laid out for us in the Bible of what to be as a husband. For example, you are required to sacrificially love your wife and provide leadership for the family, right? Another thing that you're supposed to do is provide for them spiritually, materially, financially, emotionally. That is there. You're required to also protect them as well from physical, emotional harm and all of that. So those things are there. But again, like, the whole thing is a journey. And so it's like you have to become as like a responsibility and learn to do, right? That's what I think. And so it's that idea of just bearing the responsibility, as you know, because you have to be there for your wife, but you also have to work. So what is that right balance? At what time is right to spend with a wifey versus, you know, spending behind a laptop? Like right now, maybe he might be watching the basketball finals with his wife. But then, you know, maybe it makes sense to also spend that time to be here. So just like that. The other thing I'll add on top of that is that responsibility, because they are all important, but I guess they have varying levels of importance. They are all important, essential things. They have varying levels of importance. So that brings in the word of prioritization. But it's good. It's like what becomes an additional layer is knowing when to do what and what to prioritize in, you know, balancing all of those responsibilities. But again, it's scary because of the transition, and it requires that finesse to be able to prioritize very well and balancing what to do now, what to postpone, and what to do later, right?
Right. I love that. So it's scary, it's a privilege, and you have to prioritize. Lovely, lovely. Ima, how was it like being responsible for lives?
I guess what I would say is, like all that Kofi said, and probably add that I think that there are many things, or there are many sources of the responsibilities that we have, right? And when I say source, I mean, where is this responsibility coming from? You know, who is putting it on me?
Yeah.
right? Because again, there are a lot of people who are listening right now that do not feel this responsibility at all. The people that have given birth and they don't feel they have any responsibility towards anyone. So, I mean, where are you getting these responsibilities from? Obviously, we know that it could come from your beliefs. Like if you're a Christian, you find these responsibilities coming from, say, God, and that determines the amount, or in fact, you know, the weight of your responsibility, because all that God is expecting of you is huge. I heard Kofi talk about being responsible for them spiritually. I'm thinking, what does that even mean? So, you know, and then being responsible for them materially. And we know that that is true, right? We know that that is true. But what does that even mean? And so for me, I think it was about trying to figure out what these responsibilities mean. I just didn't have a clue what they meant. It's like what I realized, especially when I married and then becoming a father, was that, and then again, also having a work, being, you know, someone that had this great passion and I felt that God was calling me onto something. I realized that, you know, there's this conflicting, you know, I don't know what word or what term will best describe it. But then the responsibilities I had were a bit overlapping and they were kind of conflicting, you know, in a way. How do I go out there and make money and take care of, say, the family, and then at the same time make time for them, and then at the same time go do whatever I think God is giving me? It's like, I don't see how that work. And so I find all these responsibilities being placed on me and I don't know where they're coming from. And they are, you know, I felt like these are too much. You know, if I don't set and understand them and define which responsibilities do I take for myself, because they exist. There are responsibilities that even society plays on you for whatever reason. And it's just because all of us somehow have this shared, you know, values that is kind of creating this kind of thing, that a man is supposed to be this, a man is supposed to do that. And then there is this kind of responsibility that you don't even know where they're coming from, but they're there. You know, some of them, we watch them from movies. You know, like growing up, a man was the guy who went to work and came back and drove the car and parked at the parking lot, and the wife would be at the entrance waiting to take their jacket off and say, "Darling, there is food on your table." And so you have this image, it's like a social image of what manhood is. And I thought, and I felt this, that I'm kind of gravitating towards that, and I'm hoping that I achieve it. And if I achieve that, that means I'm a man. And if I'm not achieving it, it's like I'm falling short. And there are many people who probably maybe listening to us today who feel that. They feel that, well, I don't have a job that I will pursue to work, so I'm not a man. Because there's this kind of social image of manhood that we have put there. And there are people who even think that you have to marry to be a man. And so they know that they are not in the capacity to do it, but they have to do it. And so they step into it and then overburden themselves with things that they really would not have chosen. So it started for me at that point, understanding what these responsibilities are, understanding where they are coming from, and deciding for myself which responsibilities do I want to take, you know, and I chose them and even spread it according to the way I want to take it and how I want to meet them. That is also very important, because you cannot meet your responsibilities with someone's actions and path. You cannot, because it's very unique to you. There's someone like I know people who gave birth and their children had unique conditions, right? Some of them were autistics, and you know, and I mean, you know what autism and they are, the kind of demands that come with. But if you have the social image of a man, you're thinking, no, I'm supposed to go to work, and who is going to take care of the child, and you know, all these frustrations. So being able to determine that was crucial to what responsibilities I wanted to, you know, take.
Right. Did I tell you that my friends are deep? Like, you know, when it comes, Nyama is that friend or that person that will always ask for extra sheet in examination hall. Right?
That is true. That is so true.
Back in school, these people, you know, the Padams used to call me Plato. And I hated every bit of
them. No, man. Because Neoma just had a lot to say, man. He just answered like everything I wanted to ask, man. The responsibility.
Forward thinking. This is forward thinking.
Shame on you. Shame on you, Dapa. Shame on you for asking me the question and making it seem as if I'm the one who did it.
but you know, like you've really brought out a lot of things. How society expects men to fit in, right? How society expects men not to cry. I mean, if you come to a Ghanaian typical society, men should always stand up. Men should always be there, you know? And, you know, there's a drift, right? So there is this thing that society now says, or society used to say, we are known men, not men are known to stand out, right? And now society is saying that, oh, you know, a man can cry, so you know it's okay to cry, you know. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine. She was like, her son cries too much, like the least thing, then he's giving up, he's crying, like she wants him to be a man, you know. When do we draw that line? It's crazy, right? So I'm just trying to say that society expects us to do some things. Our capacity too might be different, but where do we draw that line to become a real man who is really solving issues and not just responding to demands, right?
Yeah, I mean, first, I think it's the recognition. I think Ima alluded to it early on in his submission. It's the recognition of the differences in everyone's journey, right? You cannot pick someone else's action and just copy paste and apply it on yours. It will not work, or it might not work. So it's just like just first recognizing that my journey is different. How it's going to play out for me is different. And number two is you have to recognize what you have to determine for yourself, intentionally determine for yourself, what kind of man do I want to be? And what would guide the kind of man that I want to be? Again, I go back. As a Christian, I allow myself to be carved out based on what the Bible says I should be. That's the first place. It's my first source of authority as to anything I have to be, being a father, being a mother, being a husband, being a worker, whatever I need to do, being a leader at work, whatever I need to be, is I use the Bible as my source of guidance to become. And so, because again, those expectations that society places on that, and us might not necessarily be, might not fit what we need to be or who we are, even in our immediate schedule and things we have to do might not fit. Besides, that's a second point there. And then maybe the third thing is picking and choosing, knowing exactly what to respond to and when to respond to. It speaks back to the initial idea of prioritization. In several cases, you have all things, like some of these things are important, but like I said, varying level of importance, right? And so you have the same amount of resources. It could be time, it could be financial, it could be your presence, it could be whatever it is. But at any point in time, you need to determine which of these things do I have to respond to right now. So for example, there's a time where you don't need to take that extra job. It's better spent with your family. And there's a time where you need to sit down and say, okay, I need to put things together and get the work done. So these things are important things, but every one of them has specific sort of time that you can do. But you, the individual, again, it comes back to the word we've been throwing around today, which is responsibility. And on top of that, I would say being intentional about which responsibility you choose and when to answer to those. Because the world and the society and our culture would ask you of so many things like bemens, like we say things like that. But if you feel like you want to cry, shed the tear, brother. Shed the tear, you know. So like, and that's just like a small example of the so many different things that people have of us, right? You know, at a certain age, people want you to drive your own car. If you have the means to drive your own car, fantastic. If you do not, there's no competition. Like you don't need to be an owner of a car. Like these young brothers in back home in Ghana and around the world, they have real hurdles real things to do, right? The pressure off. You need to have your own car. You need to be able to rent a two-bedroom apartment. If what you can afford is a one-bedroom, then have that. You know, have it within your means. The most important things are not these material things. They facilitate our lives. They are not the main drivers of it, right? And so, again, I think it's the response, like, being responsible for yourself, but also being intentional to determine what kind of man I want to be. And like I said, for me, I defer to what the scriptures say, and I try to apply my life to it.
I mean, that's I like how you bring out being deliberate and deciding really what's important to you, because I really see it's like society dictates to us what we have to do, and we just respond to it. You know, we respond, but we don't respond to it authentically. There's a lot of fakeness that we've missed out a lot of authenticity in the things that we do. And I see that a lot. You know, people are a reflection of others. You really don't see people trying to live their life out, right? So I want to ask the importance of role modeling. Okay, I'm going to start this with Nyama. The importance of role modeling. Sometimes I see that it's good to have a role model, but sometimes I see people and role models trying to relive themselves in their mentees, right? Like someone takes you as a mentor and you're trying to relive yourself in that person. And the moment the person just tries to also be something authentically them, then you realize that the mentors now start to use words like you are disloyal, you don't want to listen, you know? It's like they can't handle the disruption of the young folks. So really the question is, what's the importance of role modeling, and how can you as a man get the best out of it?
I think whether you are mentoring people or whether you are following someone, I mean, because that's essentially what role modeling is about, is about putting someone ahead of you and saying that I want to follow what they're doing. Whether it's you doing it or someone doing it with you, it's just important. It's really essential. I think about it this way. You kind of imagine yourself in this world like someone who is living in a very big house, right? In that house, you have you, and you were born in that house, but you came to meet so many people, right? You came to meet so many people, and now you started growing. And then you see your brother, you see sister, you see someone, and then you see a neighbor. You go out, and then you go to school, and then you're learning stuff. Now, everything you're doing is literally learning from people, because in that house, you did not come to that place with anything of you. So essentially, everything that you become is just someone's influence on you, whether you agree to it or not. It's there. It is true. Someone is influencing you to act the way you act and to do the way you do things. Yeah. And where you were born determines a lot. Some of the things that you learn, because everything you become is shaped by your environment, you know, and it could be a father who is hitting a woman that you learn. Or it could be a brother who is screaming on top of his voice when he has to just tell you something as little as pick up this spoon. Or it could be a mother who is, you know, stuff like that. You just watch and you see it's just like a big house, you know, and you could have your room where you go to sleep, but you wake up in the morning, everyone comes out and your immediate surrounding begins to influence you. And then you kind of go out. I always ask myself this: if I found myself in such a big house, what do I think will be the most important thing to do? And the answer to me is to be careful what I'm learning from who. Because in that house, there are all kinds of people. There are those that are lunatics and there are those that are smart. You know, I look at the world, for instance. There are about 8 billion people now, and it's estimated that about 100 billion people have lived. Imagine this big house that you find yourself. You obviously don't need to craft your path, and you don't have to assume that you are magically going to have the solution to everything in that world. You don't have to do that. I think that the best way to go about it is to say, 100 billion people possibly have lived this earth before. Who can I learn from? And mostly when we think about role models, we think about people we can directly follow. That is good, because at least those ones you can vouch for that. I did that. I went to my spiritual father's house and I lived with him for a while. But it's not always appropriate, because again, you can never always tell, right, who you are following and who you are. Like you said, there are some people that are going to take it personal and stuff like that. So if you think about this big house, then you can recognize the fact or the possibility. And we thank God for social media and for books and for things. People are literally putting their learnings in books. Go get them.
Yeah.
Go learn them. You know, just learn them. People are putting their lives on social media. Follow them. People are doing all kinds of things. Just watch them as someone who is just watching someone who has lived life more than you and trying to just observe. As you observe them, you will see their wrongs and you see their right. Many people think role modeling is just blindly following. It's not. It's just really observing what the other person is doing. And you could have many people that you can learn from a distance, and those who you can learn from, you know, when you get close. But again, it's difficult to tell how you should do it, because people are different. People are not you. And there are people who come in with a lot of demands and stuff like that. But if you can give up some kind of freedom, okay, and you can say, it doesn't matter, I want to be as vulnerable as possible because I really don't know anything. In this house, you cannot assume that you know anything sincerely, because you were born without anything, and everything you are is an influence of someone on you. So who do I want to have the most influence on me? And in what area do I want them to have that influence on me? So I have people that I may learn finance from, but I will not learn it from this person. That is fine. I may pick someone I want to learn parenting from, but I will not learn it from this person. That is fine, you know.
Yeah.
But that should tell you how much you can learn if you approach life that way. If you will see life as this big house where so many people have lived it and they've had various experiences and they're just sharing, and you just go looking for it, or you observe them from afar, or you get close to them and learn. I think that is crucial. That is important.
Right. That makes so much sense. It's a big house, then you can pick to learn from anyone at every point in time. I like how you can learn finance from one person. You can learn marketing from another person. You can always learn from different people. You don't have to idolize your role models, right? I think that's one other problem. We try to idolize people too much, and we are not able to really get insights from them. We just want, instead of getting insights, we want direction. And I think that's one of the problems, because you have to learn to make informed decisions. Don't allow people to always relieve themselves in you, because we are all running different paths. I love that. Kofi, what would be your take on this?
No, I agree with that. And I think this is especially important, this idea of having an open house right now for everybody. You know, you can learn, because I know there are certain people who would think that, oh, I don't have a father in the house. I don't have any role model. People can just easily throw that out there to say, oh, like, is this, like, is this just the story we've heard about, like having a father who is a drunkard in the house with two sons. And then one becomes a drunkard and he says, it's because of my father. And the other person does not become a drunkard and says the same thing, it's because of my father, right? So you can look at the same thing and pick different lessons from it, And I think, to Ymir's point, what the world, like the availability of information and books and social media, and like it's not even paid, it's free, is that it levels the playing field for us. And so you cannot say that I did not have a direct role model, or my father did not do A, B, or C, and so I don't have a role model. It takes that from your hands, because you don't need to. It will be good. Like, no, but so let's not, I'm not underplaying the importance of having an immediate father figure in your life right there. That's good. But if you don't have it, you don't have to miss out on the opportunity to learn. You don't have to miss out on that. Mm. You know, the same, this, like, I'm saying this because it's true for me. Growing up, at some point, I did not have that figure in my life on a regular basis. But I think I'm doing pretty good. And the reason is that I knew, again, like the same analogy, I knew that people like me, we have the propensity to not be able to learn how to be a man. And so I did not want to be the son who became a drunkard because his father was a drunkard. I want to be the one who did not become a drunkard because my father was a drunkard, so to speak, right, you know, in that situation. And so what did I do? I turned to other men that I knew that I could learn from, like my uncle, for example. Mm-hmm. I learned from him. But to Mel's point, there were things I learned from my uncle and other things I learned from some other people, you know, like other people I saw from afar, other men I knew in church, other spiritual men, spiritual fathers and pastors that I learned from. The other things I learned just by observing. I went to, in March, my wife and I went to spend some time with Ima and his family in New York. Mm-hmm. And we were there. And I saw how Ima relates to his son. He speaks with a four-year-old guy like an adult, like you and I, right? Like, and I learned something from that relationship, right? Again, so there's that level ground that allows us, right, to take away any kind of thinking that I didn't have the example, I didn't have a father. Because, again, if you want to be a man, you have to take the gun from other people and place it on yourself. Or let me use a different analogy. Mm. Put the mirror in front of you. Put the mirror in front of you, right? So that you can clearly look at it. Because to add on to responsibility is an idea, like what you talked about, Dabs, earlier on, is decision making, the outcomes of those decisions and the consequences thereof. So if you become a man and you keep on blaming someone else because you did not have them in the house, then you are missing the whole point of being a man. The whole point of being a man is taking responsibilities, like getting insight from other people. But also you make decisions, they have outcomes, and you live with the consequences. So I think that idea of leveling the playing field, it takes away the arms, the powers that people have saying, I didn't have such a person in the house. But it makes it so wonderful because, like Ima said, you can learn economics from one father and learn parenting from one father and learn how to treat a man from one father and learn how to be romantic from another father, right? So again, let's not get limited, but there's just a world of information and data, good people, good examples in the world that we can learn from.
That's so true. There are so many good examples. And, you know, your story just reminds me of my father's story. So my dad didn't have, his father was like totally absent, but I admire how my dad raised us up. We are six children, right? Four boys and two girls. Like, My dad really did a good job. I can say we are all independent now. We are all living our own lives and we are doing so well. And I asked him that, how was he able to do this? And he told me that, number one, the first thing that helped him to do this was accepting Christ as his Lord and personal Savior. And that happened when he was in secondary school in Koforidua Sec-Tech. And it was a white man that led him to Christ. And he learned so much from him. The man gave him like a lot of books that he read, you know. You know, my father can just wake up one day and cook for the whole house. And when he cooks, he'll do like bread and salad and all that. And he doesn't put it on the dining table. He'll come and put it by your bedside. When you wake up and you see the food there, like, wow, this guy. And like, my father is like a total cratinio. He's not like, he's from far away. But you know, he learns. It just buttresses the point that, you know, when you learn, you can do different. But you see, I really talk about responsibilities. And, you know, it's real. I mean, we are all married men and we know how it feels to be responsible for lives. And we've spoken about that. But guys, how does it feel when you're not able to deliver on certain responsibilities? You know, maybe your wife wants something to be done in a certain way. And you know that you do not have the capability to make that happen. Like, how does it feel? And how do you communicate it in a way that it doesn't create tension? Hey, my lovely tribe. I know you are itchy to get the responses that my guests are going to give to this particular question. But you have to wait until Friday, the 22nd of June, for part two of this particular episode. But in the meantime, let's engage. Follow me on Apple Podcasts and Spotify or wherever that you get your favorite podcast from, and do want to give me your feedback. I want to hear from you, comments, questions, because this is going to help me to put out the right content for you that will help you to survive the various phases of life, living as a youth in Ghana. So watch out for part 2 on the 22nd of June. See you all soon.